First Peter chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 8 and verse 9, if you will read those verses. I'll read those verses and you follow along with me, please. First Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and verse 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. My subject this morning is Satan's attack on the home. Satan's attack on the home. Now, if you notice there with me in verse 8 and 9, there are several things that perhaps came to your mind as to how the devil is seeking whom he may devour. Now, we have an adversary. We have an adversary. And I believe that God's people need to be aware of who that adversary is. And I also believe that God's people need not be ignorant of his devices or of his tactics that he's using. As usual, I am very alarmed about what's going on today concerning the home. So I thought about this during the week, and I thought about it all night, and I'll not get everything in here I really should, but I thought about Satan's attack on the home. Now, I'm not going to go into this morning as far as what the home is. I believe that you all know from the Word of God and from the preaching that I have given to you through the years that God's design for the home is very clear. It's very well defined in the Word of God. The Word of God is not outdated nor old-fashioned. You hear that sometimes, people say, well, it can't be like it used to be. Why can't it? If it's God's way, it ought to be. God designed His Word for time and for eternity. He said this. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away. And there won't be one jot or tittle taken from it as far as God is concerned. We have, at this present time, a nation that has lost sight of God. But we have a nation founded on moral and spiritual values, being reduced to a nation with no morals and spiritual values. And what we have really come down to, in essence, is lawlessness. I'm fearful, for in the day in which we live, that there is a lot of lawlessness. But primarily, that lawlessness is against God and is contrary to the Word of God. Our society in which we live offers more benefits. Now remember, this is Satan's attack on the home. Our society offers more benefits for two people that will not marry but just live together. And then,
we find ourselves offering more benefits if two people that are married will divorce. Now, what is that? That's lawlessness. What is that? That is a defiance of God's Word. And, of course, our nation is promoting such a thing. What is this other than Satan's attack on the home? We're also in a time when the word of a child is believed before the parent. Parents no longer have any rights. Did y'all know that? Parents no longer have any rights. Law officials with human resources can take your children from your home. Juveniles go almost unpunished for any crime. It don't matter what they do or what it is. If they are a juvenile and they declare that under 18 years of old, then they go almost unpunished for any crime. You know what that is? That's lawlessness. You know what that is? That is Satan's attack on the home. They can murder their parents and go free by claiming they were abused by their parents. Now, brethren, I don't know whether you all recognize where we are or not. But that's where we are. It ain't where we're going to be. But it's where we are at this present time. Our public schools have become drug centers and war zones. That's what they have become. The answer to all of this is not more education. And the answer to it is not more money. But the answer to it is going back to God. And going back to God's Word. Everybody, you know, says, well, we don't have enough money. That's the problem now. They've got too much. And they're wasting it. They're squandering it. And they're throwing it down holes to no avail. And so the answer is not more education and it's not more money. Now what has really happened is Satan has successfully carried out a long-range plan. And we're to the end of it. We're right here, right now, where Satan has successfully carried out a plan to destroy the home. And what homes today that are not on the brink of disaster have already fallen over the brink. And many are just striving and just struggling to exist the way that they ought to exist for the cause of God. So I'm telling you some things that I believe that are real and that you see every day and that you know that what I'm saying is a certain truth. This is not mere supposition. Now, there's basically three things that I want to get us into. Now, there's a lot more than this. But there's basically three things that I wanted to get us into that have to do with Satan's successful carried out long-range plan. And the first one that I want us to get into is the divine order of the sexes. It's not my order of the sexes, it's the divine order. It is God's order. The first place that I'd like for you to notice with me is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and there in verse 3 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and Paul gives this very clearly to the church at Corinth. And this is God's divine order. It was so in the Old Testament. It's so in the New Testament. It is still so today that it is God's divine order. And this order, as far as God is concerned, never changes. But now look here at 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I would have you know, now this is God ordained this, that the head of every man is Christ. And the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Now that is God's divine order. It's like this, and it never changes as far with God. It's God, Christ, man, woman. It never will become God, Christ, woman, man. Now with God. Now it has with the world. But this Satan has gradually, it was just a slow, progressive thing through the years, getting this thing, trying to get this thing turned around. Now you all know where I'm coming from, and you know where we are today. You know exactly where we are, and you know what kind of a condition we're in too, don't you? You know what kind of a condition we're in? We're in a place to where homes are wrecks. Many homes are just morally and spiritually a wreck. Our government is a wreck. Our school system is a wreck. And many of our churches are just a wreck. Because that we have let slip by us the Satan's idea of what the divine order of the sexes ought to be. When it is God's divine order. Now, so we find that this divine order of the sexes, first of all, has to do with headship. And I believe that anybody that can read or willing to understand, and especially if they call themselves a Christian, ought to recognize this very simple divine order that God has done. And it doesn't change. But then, not only do we see in this divine order of the sexes the headship, and of course Satan has caused people to turn that around. But I believe also what that has done is made a direct attack on the home. Now, this thing on the home just didn't come overnight. This thing has been coming for a long, 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 long time. It was even already working when I was just a young child. It was already even working when my parents were just young children. The devil was beginning to work and knowing that he could bring it right up to the time as to where we are now. As to what would happen and what would take place. Go with me to Titus chapter 2. And I want you to notice Titus chapter 2 and there in verse 3 down through verse 5. It says this. Titus 2:3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as become holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teacher of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Now that's real simple. And I believe that what Satan has done has taken that thing and turned it around to where that people are married, but yet he has in put upon them the idea that they are not supposed to love their husband, that is the wife, and that they're really not supposed to love their children. And we see so much of that. And there is so much of it. But then, he also says in verse 5, now I'm talking about Satan's attack on the home, and I believe here's where it all is. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. Now I've watched several television programs this week, and some of those fellows didn't even claim to be saved, and they said what's wrong with in most homes today is that the child needs the parent, the mother at home. Now they've come to that conclusion. Well, I've preached this ever since I've been preaching. And I've taught and believed this all the time. Now people will sort of listen to those old fellows on television and say, you know, that's right. But it's been right all the time. It's been God's order all the time. What's wrong with the lot? And they showed several examples of these little children, you know, crying and kicking and stomping. And what's wrong? They want their mama. And they want their mama to be with them. That's just like my old dog. She'll fight you over her pups. She won't let you touch those pups. Even nature itself teaches us and teaches this divine principle from the Word of God. And I believe if parents are going to have children, I believe they ought to raise them. I don't believe they ought to farm them out. I don't believe they ought to have somebody else to do it or hire somebody else to do it. I believe they ought to do it themselves. I believe they ought to give them the nurture and the love and the attention that can only come from a mother and from a father. And I believe that's exactly the attack that Satan has made on the home today. And that's why that homes are in shambles and why that we have so much ruin today. I believe that people ought to live within their means. And their children ought to be worth more to them than an automobile. Or their children ought to be worth to them more to them than a house. Or worth more to them than land. You only have your children one time. And I believe that when God gives them to you, it's your responsibility. It's not somebody else's responsibility to raise them. And that's exactly what's wrong today. And that's why the state has so much control over the home and over children. It's because we've given it to them. And we expect somebody else to rear our children. But he goes on and says here in this, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good. And then he says, obedient to their own husbands. Now why? That the word of God be not blasphemed. This is God's way. It is God's word. And then, we've really slipped from this. Not only in the divine order of the sexes do we deal with headship, do we deal with the home, but we also deal with the Lord's church. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And the devil's been slipping this into churches through the years, Baptist churches especially. That's why there's so much confusion today in many Baptist churches, is because there is not the divine order of the sexes that God has laid down. You get some preacher up and he'll say, well, I know that's what the Bible said, but that's not what it means. And all it is he's afraid to preach the Word of God as thus saith the Word of God because of the pressure that is being applied or put on him that he might lose his job or lose his position. But I believe that one of the things that is really hurting in many Baptist churches today is this divine order of the sexes. For it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 34, it says this, let your women keep silent in the churches. Now notice he didn't say that wasn't just Corinth, it says plural. Churches. Didn't say church, it said churches. For it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. I remember years ago, I was saved and baptized into a Baptist church that believed and practiced the same truths that we believe and practice today. This was back in the 50s. And I remember that when we would go to the associational meetings, this was the one thing that we had to contend with every time. Is this violation? And we were looked down. They looked down their noses at us, and they had rather that we'd stay away and that we wouldn't come. They called us troublemakers because we believed and practiced, put this into practice in that Baptist church where I was a member of. And so even today it is far worse when you have women governors, women judges, when you have women in every walk of life. You can imagine then when you as a Baptist church believe and want to practice this simple truth in the Word of God, what kind of a feeling that the world or the religious world today has toward you. Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, listen to what he said in 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and there in verse 11, down through verse 14, he said this, let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach. Now he clarifies this. Nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Now Satan has been successful in many places turning around the divine order of the sexes. And so I believe that all of this is what is at the heart of the problem. I believe, and they say, well, we don't know what to do about this. And so many times today, what many people are doing, they say, well, we got to help. People have got to be educated. You know, you hear this all the time. Say, what we got to do, we got to educate them. I tell you what you got to do. You got to quit monkeying with God's order. And you got to quit monkeying with the family. And you got to let a husband be a husband, a wife, and children, children, and have the place that God has ordained for them and for each one to carry out the responsibility that God has given them. And when that happens, you've got the answer to your problem. And until that happens, and now you're not going to ever hear that suggested other than from this pulpit. You're not going to hear that anywhere else. You'll hear a little bits taken off here, 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 and you'll say, oh, well, that's what our pastor says. But now I want us to go. Not only do we see Satan's attack on the home is from the divine order of the sexes, but secondly, I believe that Satan's attack on the divine order of provider for provisions. Now get that. God has a divine order of the provider. Who it is that's going to provide or going to make the provisions for the home. God has an order for that, and He always has. And so we see that His order is that fathers are to provide for the family. Why all this nonsense of talking today on television about a welfare reform? I know what welfare reform is. Let fathers take care of their family. And that'll stop it. I mean, that'll carry. I don't have to be a Republican or a Democrat. I don't have to do that to figure out which way it ought to go and how it ought to do. And these deadbeat dads on welfare that have these children come into the world and won't provide for them, that's what's wrong. Amen. If somebody's gonna father a child and have a child come in, the government ought not to have to pay for it. But that man that has that child come in is the one that ought to have to pay for it. And that's where the responsibility is and where the responsibility lies. But that's just another attack of Satan on the home. And so then we say, well, this Congress are going to work out their problem. They ain't going to do no such thing. Whether we agree or disagree, things are going to just become worse unless they turn back to God's way and turn back to the Word of God and turn back to the principles that our country was founded upon and stand on those principles. Both moral and both spiritual. Well, let me give you a little scripture for this. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. God don't have no respect for somebody that'll father a child and then won't provide for it. I started to say I wouldn't, but I'd rather say God doesn't. 1 Timothy chapter 5, and look with me in verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, and then he brings it on down and says, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Say, well, you know, and I hear this all the time, say, oh, well, we can't find jobs. No, it ain't we can't find jobs. You're not looking. I tell you what, there's a lot of jobs. Why, you can dig ditches. You can wash cars. Say, well, I ain't going to do that. Well, I wouldn't work for minimum wage. Well, why should you when the government's paying you and you're freeloading? You see Satan's attack, and what is that attack? Well, that attack is on the home. That is an attack, and that's directly opposed and against God. It's against God's order. It's against the principle of God's Word. And time again, we see this in the Word of God. So, a father fathers a child, support that child. If a man marries a woman, support that woman. If a man and a wife has children, then that father support those children. Take care of those children. Listen to what Paul said, not only to Timothy. Paul said this to Timothy, but listen to what he said in Ephesians chapter 4 and there in verse 28. I tell you what I always tell mine. Now, this may not always work that way. I say, I always tell my people, government don't owe you anything. I don't go for this freeloading on the government and thinking the government owes me a living and everything. The government never has paid me nothing. And I've lived pretty good so far, and I believe that anybody else can that will go by the Word of God and be willing to work. Ephesians chapter 4, and there in verse 28 it says this. Let him that stole steal no more. Now I know that has a thought to it, but now let's get down to the other part of this verse. Look at it. But rather, let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that need it. You know, some of these bums, and that's really, and I know I'm up this morning, and I know that's really what they are. You can call them what you want to, but that's what they are. They ought to work and help other people. Instead of somebody always saying, give me, help me, I can't do without this, can't do without this. You'd be surprised. Well, some of you know. Some of you know from experience what you can do without and how you can live. Well, I believe that Paul said it best, and I think this is, and I thought, well, I've got something better than the contract of America. I've got the Word of God. Well, the contract with America is full of holes. But look what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I started to call this, I could have phased this God's welfare program. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I realize this is not a life matter, it's a serious matter, folks, where we are. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11 and verse 12, and it says this. And that you study to be quiet and to do your own business. Now that's good advice. And then it says, and to work with your own hands, as we command you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. Now, that beats contracts in America. Work with your own hands. Now look to 2 Thessalonians. Paul makes it even stronger than this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 7 through 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 7 through 13 says, for yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we have behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Now you've got to understand what this disorderly means. This is not talking about bad conduct or something like that. It's talking about that he wasn't a deadbeat. That he wasn't expecting them to always take care of him, that he had some responsibility himself. In verse 8 he said, neither, and here he says it, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. Even when we were with you, this we commanded, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there, and even then, see, they was having problems with this. They didn't know what a Democrat or Republican was. And they was having problems with this then. Look, he said, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly. Now, remember what that disorderly is. Not working. Not working. Not working. Not working. Says, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now, them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, now you, brethren, be not worried well doing. You know how you say? You know what you say? Well, they have it better than we do. You know what you say? So I work and all I'm working for. Well, you're providing yourself. But it's you that are paying for those deadbeats. So Paul said, now,
Don't be worrying well-doing. Don't you get to where you think, I'll just quit and get on welfare. No, you'll be just as guilty as they are. You'll be just of the same order that they are. Don't do that. It's what Paul was saying. Well, there's a lot more that could be said, and I said I couldn't get it all in here. But there is a divine order of provider for provisions. Now, this is Satan's attack on the home. And who it is that is responsible for every home is the father of that home. And I realize today that what has happened, and they said this even on these programs that I listened to. They said, here's what has happened. And y'all see this is not so. People try to live far above their means. And they get to where that everybody in the household, if they ain't got a job, they go under financially. Now, isn't that what's wrong? Sure, that's what's wrong. You all have to agree. I mean, some of us are perhaps in that situation. You know, even here today. But then, the third thing that Satan's is, the first is divine order. The second is divine order provider for provisions. But the third one is the divine order for rearing children. Now, here's what that I was so alarmed about it, and so noticed so much. On one of these programs, and I told my wife, I said, well, I'm glad they're at least bringing out some of the truth. Usually, it's always the news media is always a one-sided thing. It's a very negative thing, and it's always against the conservative ideal. Totally against the conservative ideal. And so, there was this one farm family that had these small children. One of these small children had asthma and therefore had to go to the emergency room a lot. So the doctor turned them in to human resources and said that this mother is capable of harming these children. So then what happened is human resources got the sheriff and here come the law and they came to the home and took this family's children away from them. And said, now, your children have got to go to a foster home. Now, what would you do? I tell you what, but it don't be to the grace of God that I wouldn't take some rash action. And you know what was behind it all? This woman was mad at that mother. And she knew the way she could get back at her is turn her into human resources. See, that's the devil's too. Much of this malarkey goes on today, there ain't nothing to it. It's the devil's trick. It's the devil's tactic. And the devil's riding a hobby horse. Well, how would you like it? How would you like it? Why? How would you like it? Kathy, if they grow up and said, well, we're going to take your children, you're abusing your children. How would you like it, John, if they came and you know, you was going and Lamona there and said, well, now we're going to take these children. We feel like that Lamona is subject to any time doing something to these children. Now, folks, I'm telling you, that's where we are. Now, that's where we are. What's wrong? What's wrong with a country that we call a country of freedom when we do not have the privacy of our home and we cannot protect our home, we cannot protect our children, and when that the say of the parents no longer has any say? What have we come to? That's where we are right now. And I believe that this is Satan's attack, and I believe it's been coming along. Then there's another case. There was this 12-year-old, 12 or 13-year-old, and this was her stepdad and all, and there was children in the home and the wife. 4 mornings in a row, this girl dumped her cereal out on the floor. And the stepfather said, now this has got to stop. Said, now, he noticed that. He said, you've got to clean it up. She refused to clean it up. So what he did, he gave her a spanking. And she needed it. She did. She needed a spanking. So what happened was, is she got on the school bus and began to tell what her stepfather had done to her.
And she said the first thing on the list that they taught us in school that we could turn our parents in for is what I took. In our public school system today, they have counselors, and they set all the kids around, and the different ones, and they tell them these things where that they can be, where they're mistreated, and how they can turn their parents in. So what she did, she said, and she told them at school that day, the principal, and told them at school, said, "My stepdaddy got me by the hair of the head and drug me across the floor." She lied. Who did they believe? Well, of course, the child. Because parents no longer have any say. And parents no longer know what to do. And parents no longer have any rights in this great country in which that we live. And so, what she did, she refused to go back home. She went to some neighbors. Those neighbors hit her. Hers, her mother looking for her. Her mother worried about her. What's happened to this 12-year-old girl? And she's right there, and these neighbors are hiding her from her mother. Because they believe this professional liar. This child that is lying. So the sheriff then is called in. The sheriff goes over, finds the girl, examines her. There is not a sign of any bruise or nothing on her anywhere. He said, "I thought something bad wrong." Talked to the oldest daughter of that family, and the oldest daughter said, "She's lying. There ain't a word of truth to what she said." But they still wouldn't believe the parent. You know what they want to do? They were wanting to get him in court for child abuse. They were wanting to take that child from the home and then to put it in some kind of a government institution was what they were wanting to do. And they said, "Where did you get this idea?" She said, "I got it at school." Now that's what your children are being taught at school. And it ain't just one school, it's all schools. Wherever that you go. So I believe that we're in a sad situation. How would it be? And you know, we sit and we say, "Oh, that's far-fetched." I tell you what, it could happen to you. It could happen to you today or tomorrow. I tell you what, anymore with having things for young people at churches, it's the parents that's better have them. I wouldn't dare have anything with young people no more. You know, all they got to do is tell one lie on you. It's the parents that ought to be responsible. But there is a divine order. There is a divine order for rearing children. And I believe that the Bible gives it very plain. Go to Proverbs chapter 13. Now this isn't all of this that I've got lined up here. But I'm talking about Satan's attack on home. Proverbs 13 and verse 24. Through the course of all that, you know what I found out? From a lawyer that said in that, he said that if you push your child, that's abuse. Now, that's the laws now. I've got another one I'll tell you, but he said if you just push your child like that, that's abuse. They've got you for abuse already. Now, you all think about this. I mean, you better seriously consider this. I'm just not up here just puffing at the wind. I'm talking about where we are. It says in Proverbs 13, 24. Now, this is the divine order. This is not the order of our country, but the divine order. "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." And I believe if you'll go along, look in Proverbs 19 and verse 18, and this is what Solomon said. He said here, "Chasten thy son while there is hope." That is, while he's young, train him and teach him and discipline, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. And then if you'll go to the 22nd chapter and verse 15, listen to what Proverbs says. And it says this, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it from him." Yeah. We're living in a day and a time when 2 years old, 3 years old, 6 years old, 5 years old, 10 years old, 12 years old are telling parents what to do. And what they can do and what they can't do. And they're controlling the home. And Satan is using that to destroy the home. I talked to one of the members of the church this past week. And she said this. She said, and I saw her
have been in agreement with her. She said, it's a good thing I don't have children now, because I'd probably spend most of my time in jail. And if you tried to discipline your child and your child was so minded to turn you in, you would. Now, that's where we are. And of course, I know how that's worked, and I know how that it could work. And I realize, look at Proverbs 23 and verse 13, and it says this, withhold not correction from thy child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, and we know that's not beating him up, but that's chasing him or whipping him, he shall not die. And they'll, you know, the opponents of this take that and say, oh, you beat him to death? No. That's not what that means. You know, I know some of the simplest whipping sometimes, you hear the child and you think that you're beating them to death. I mean, they try to make everybody think that you are. And so here was a good one. And I thought this was interesting. There happened to be this Block family. Uh-oh. Now, this is a horse of different color. There happened to be this Black family that had this problem. And this man told his son, now son, if you don't behave at school, I'm going to come to school and take care of you. So he did. The school called him and said, your son needs some discipline. And said, would you come, please come and take care of your son? And he did. And you know what he did? He took him in the restroom. He took his belt off. And he whipped him. You know what the school did to him? Turned him into human resources. They asked him to come, Black man. They asked him to come and discipline his child. And you know what they did? They automatically, because he whipped him, turned him into human resources. And then he had to be accountable to human resources and the law. And you know what that Black woman and Black man said? We're going to discipline our children. And I thought, hooray! And they said, if the state don't want us to discipline, they'll have to raise them. But the state don't want to raise them. They want you to foot the expense. They want you to take care of them and raise them like they say they ought to be raised. Now, brethren, that's where we are. Now, I hope there's not skeptics here this morning. Because if there is, it may be someday I'll be on your door praying with you about your children, where they are, or I may be on the jail door praying with you. Is exactly where that we may be. And so this leads us to this in Ephesians chapter 6, and there in verse 24. Now, I told the young people this morning, I said, and I told this young class that we have out here, I said, now you kids are faced with all this situation now. You know, our young people today are in a terrible fix. Facing terrible. I said, but what you've got to remember is it's going to only be a few years that you're going to be facing this for your children. And you better be thinking about doing what's right and doing it God's way now, because that's going to affect you when you have your children. How did you do them or how you train them? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. And your fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but it says, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, and there in verse 21 of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21, when Paul was writing, and listen to what he says in this verse. He said, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they become discouraged. And some people will take that and say, well, that means you ought not to spank them, you ought not to correct them. Don't mean that at all. Doesn't mean that at all. Here's what, and I'm against children being put in state institutions. Now, let me clarify that. Because I believe parents are responsible. And all that is more control. More state and more government control. The state is determined to control you and take your children. Now, they won't take your children if they can control you.
If you'll do, if you'll knuckle under and do exactly what they think you ought to do, which will be contrary to God's Word, they won't bother you.
The devil, two institutions the devil is using now against the home is the public school and human resources. I told the young people, we didn't have this problem when I was in school. Oh, sometimes somebody get mad and smack one another or hit one another or something, you know, like that. And which you're going to have that or push one another, something like that. We didn't have to worry about being knifed. We didn't have to worry about being shot with a gun. We didn't have to worry about those things. We went to school. The only thing that we had concern about was teacher so-and-so is real hard-nosed, you know, and she makes you mind. She won't let you talk, and you got to do your lessons, and you got to make a good grade, and if you don't, you get punished for that. That's what we spent all our time. I told him you didn't do right. Why, you got up paddling. And then if it was something not so severe, you had to write 500 times good nature and good sense. Which a lot of them had to do a lot of writing. And we didn't have duplicators either. That couldn't be run on a copy machine either, brother. It had to be written out longhand. And when I talked to the discipline committee this time, they said, well, we've got to remember, we're not living back in the 50s. That's right. We're not. But as far as the rule and the principles and things ought to be, we ought to be. Now, here's the whole conclusion of the matter in Ephesians chapter 6. Now, here's the whole conclusion of the matter. And this is Satan's attack upon the home. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. He comes back just like he said there in 1 Peter 5. He said, finally, my brethren, now notice this, be strong in the Lord in the power of His might. That's the same thing verse 9 said of 1 Peter 5. And here it is. Put on the whole armor of God. Now see, sometimes people think, well, that just means me individually as far as, you know, living a Christian life. But it means also that the Satan's attacking our homes. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for here it is in verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. Who's behind this government control of our children, our churches? Who's behind it? What the devil?